Welcome to the Dead Parrot Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Ramo, and with me, the man that's large and in charge, it's Sean Alley. What's up, Sean?
How are you doing, Jason?
I'm doing great because we have another in-studio guest that I'm extremely excited about.
Yeah.
This man writes for Clay Target Magazine in Clay Shooting USA. He is a masterclass shooter that is a threat for an HOA anytime he's shooting in Ohio. He is also my coach and my very good friend. Welcome, Bill Elliott.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
I-O, baby.
Yes. First of all, thanks for everything you guys are doing. I'm hearing great things out there about what you guys are doing for the industry, what you're doing to help nurture new shooters along the way. So keep rocking. This podcast is just going to spread. So keep up the awesome work.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Appreciate that. I know, speaking for myself, I'm just an idiot behind a microphone, but we try to get good quality guests on that can get some good information out to people to help them with their shooting. That's what we're all about.
Yeah, so. I'm trying to get work done while having fun doing it.
So the theme of this show, Bill, is cold weather. And what can a guy do if, you know, he can't get out? It's just miserable outside, too cold to shoot, you know, that kind of thing. And we're going to get into some really good questions. But before we do, catch us up. You were at the Cardinal Center today giving lessons, right?
I was. I think it's the first time I've ever said, wow, 33 degree office, not bad today, right? Not bad.
Right. There you go.
Yeah, I was out there coaching all day and just...
In the winter wonderland.
Yes. Actually took some video, and it's awesome to see the clients out there grinding in those situations, because if you think of guys like Vincent Hancock, some of these Olympians, they will actually tell you that that kind of weather condition or that kind of practice, it's actually a blessing because you can't fabricate it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it was a pretty awesome day.
That's awesome. You have now been named the official coach of the Cardinal Center. Is that correct? Is that your official title there?
Sure. It's a resident instructor. Yep.
Okay, cool. I know that my game, and Sean was the first one to notice. Of course, you know, him and my other buddies had to coattail on me, right? But they were the first one to notice that. I think you and I hooked up after the Northeast Regional last year, and I started elevating my game very quickly. The hardest thing it's been for me is overcoming the bad habits I made in the years before I came to, you know, you as a coach and instructor. And, you know, Sean's mentioned the same thing. It's like, man, I'm trying to eliminate this one thing that I did for years that it was in the wrong direction. You probably see that a lot, don't you?
I do. I think one of the biggest misconceptions is somebody will come and say, oh, I'm having a hard time with crossers, or I'm having a hard time with droppers, or people say I ride targets. Well, that's all fine and dandy, but let's look at your core, your basic mechanics, and find out what it is about your game that we really need to work on. Because anyone who says to you, I'm thinking too much, or this game is too simple, don't overthink it, I think they're lost, because I don't think there's a harder game out there with so many variables and so many different speeds, angles, distance, different lines of targets, that this game can't be simplified.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think it's no different than when a pilot puts a plane up in the air. Every pilot that puts a plane up in the air has a check down. That plane does not go up in the air unless that check down was put into place.
Right. That's very well said. Just so people know, do you take the guy that's brand new, or do you like to see them maybe get their feet wet a little bit before they come to you?
I love all shooters. I think whether it's a brand new shooter, watching them hit that clay target for the first time and just seeing that big smile on his or her face, or the experienced shooter who is just trying to dial it up, trying to figure out, you know, do I truly have a pre-shot routine? Do I truly have a post-shot routine? Do I truly have a shot routine? Am I truly reading targets like I think I am?
Right, right. I know one of the things I get all the time is, man, I'm just going to go see a coach and he's going to fix this and I'm going to be shooting in the 90s. And I think that's a big misconception, and I'm sure you see it too. You know, it's the guy that puts in the homework and the hard work and shooting his butt off when his buddies are out doing something else. That's the guy that's going to make it up into the 90s, if you will. But they want to use the coach as a quick fix, and it's not, is it? It's more of an instruction towards a longer road.
I ask every shooter I coach, what is your commitment level to the game? so that, hey, let's be transparent about things, right? Let's right. truly understand what you can put in. Is it 125 targets every 10 days? Is it 500 targets a week? But then let's also ask, what would be a home run for today?
Right.
And there really, you know, and I know there is no shortcut to success. Think of some of the most successful people that come to all the coaches that are out there listening. Think of the most successful person that comes to you. They were super successful in business. Well, it didn't happen overnight.
That's right.
It took 3 years or it took 15 years, but it right. took a commitment. And I think that's what people misunderstand is, do you just want to go out and shoot with the guys and see about a 5 to 8% increase in your game? Or do you want to start competing at a high level, start shooting registered tournaments, become an NSCA registered shooter, and really, really follow that path?
Right.
So you have to have a self-awareness about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you ever have like somebody come to you and you're like, well, this isn't going to be a good fit because you can tell that they're not going to be committed to the level where you need them to be to teach them?
No, I can tell you this. I think having that candid conversation and understanding where each shooter is, like, hey, are you going to be able to get out weekly or biweekly? And just having that candid conversation with them saying, you know what? I don't know if your eyes are as big as your appetite. Is that what they say? Yeah. Is that yeah. what it is?
Eyes as big as your stomach.
Eyes yeah. as big as your, I think it's just, and you'll find out after the second or third coaching lesson. The other thing I will tell you this is, I'm not for everybody. I know I'm pretty intense as a coach. I know that I push. In fact, I know today in that cold weather, I was pushing on one of my clients hard, and just seeing him finally break the true pair that he was pushing on and that smile on the end, he truly understood what I was trying to do.
Right.
Right.
But for some people, you know what, Bill? I enjoyed this session, but I don't know if I'm going to come back. And that's
right.
okay.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember the very first session I had with you, you sat down with me for a few minutes and we talked about goals and where I want to be and everything. And I came right out and told you, you know, you asked me, you said, you know, Jason, where you want to be? And I said, well, listen, I'd love to be a world champion or a national champion. Anybody that's in this game, that's a dream come true, right? But the reality is I'm, you know, in my late 40s and I have a family and a career, and the amount of time and effort that it would take to get me to that point, I just don't have it available to me. And not only that, the money too, you know, it'd take a lot. And you said, okay, that makes sense. So where do you want to be? And I said, I want to be a local badass, excuse my language. But, and you smiled real big and you said, you know what? I can get you there. And it's, you know, you told me, like, this is not going to be a quick road. This is not going to be a quick fix. You've got a lot of fundamentals that we need to change. And you were right. And I can see it. You know, I've jumped 3 classes since I came to you. Now, I didn't do what your star student, Christian Siever, did and go from E to Masters in 1 year. But I can see the road and what you're building and the foundation. We talk, you know, you and I talk almost every day. And it's amazing to me because you're like, hey, have you been working on this like I told you? And yeah, okay, what's going on? It's not a short road. It's a long road to get to where you want to be. But I think the way you lay a foundation out for someone is very impressive.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. Thank you. But I can tell you this, you know, when I was in the classroom, I was a high school senior government, U.S. history teacher. I didn't create my own lesson plans. Those lessons came from research on the internet, Google, different lesson plans that were out there. No different than my conversations with guys like Pat Litsky, Don Curry, Anthony Matteris, David Radulovich, Matt Hudeman. Those by being able to have those instructors at arm's length and being able to chat with them, I've been able to create a blend of how I like to coach. And every coach has their own different process, right? And I think that's one of the things that when you're dealing with human beings, A plus B doesn't equal C. With computers, it does, right? Therefore, if you take, you know, a guy like David or Pat or Anthony or Don, and look at what they've created. They've created a similar type of model. And so I've just borrowed some things and find out what works for me that I really believe I can teach. And I don't think anyone's reinventing the wheel right. in this game. I think they're just trying to figure out a way to get that knowledge across. And if it sticks, great. If not, then here's another alternative. Here's another way to approach it.
Right. What's been one of the biggest challenges for you? You were a serious competitor. Now you got into coaching and you just got your level 3, which, by the way, congratulations on that. What's been the biggest challenge for you being a coach? Oh, I stumped him. Look at that, Sean.
He saw the eyes roll back in his head. He's like, thinking about it.
He's like, oh, man, do I answer this one honestly?
No. I think there's different ways to approach this. There's the marketing approach. Who knows who Bill Elliott is, right? I mean, we only know what we know. We only know our world, our sphere of influence, right? So that's one thing. And why would I go to Bill Elliott for a coaching session, right? The other thing is, I think once you go full bore in this, unfortunately, there are some people that might look at who you are as a shooter versus who you are as a coach and say, wow, can that guy put his money where his mouth is? And I know there's a lot of coaches out there that have said to me, well, I never shoot during a session.
Right.
I do. If I have to model something for a student, and the fear would be of missing, but I don't think as a coach you can have the expectation to ask the student to do something you can't do.
Right.
So that was one of the things I really made a strong commitment to working on my own game this year. But I will say, hands down, and I know my wife is listening out there, the toughest thing was we have a newborn, and she just still to this day, she still doesn't sleep through the night. And I'm going to tell you, as a competitor, you need sleep.
Oh, yeah.
And but what's cool in the opposite perspective is my awesome wife, Jenna, when I said, hey, babe, I want to go full bore in coaching. She said, do it. I've been telling you to do it. Do it. And to me,
that's awesome.
It actually chokes me up a little. I'm so blessed to have her in my life and my family. But I will say the hardest thing is sleep, because if you don't sleep, it's hard to shoot.
Yeah, you're not at
your best. You don't shoot, somebody sees you that was maybe thinking about taking a lesson with you. Oh, what happened to Bill Elliott?
Double-edged sword.
Right there.
That's, I remember your baby was, oh man, it couldn't have been, I don't think she was a month old. And I got to go shoot with you at a tournament, and I was, Bill, about station 4, I'm like, you okay? And you're like, no, man, I only got an hour of sleep last night. I'm like, what in the world are you doing here? But then we went to another tournament, and he just shot true meaning of lights out. I mean, it was, I think you put up a score like 96, it was like, wow. And that was a tough course. And I came over and we were talking. You're like, yeah, you see what 10 hours of sleep will do for you? So, yeah, that was
fun. I don't know how Anthony Matters is doing it right now. He's got 3 little ones and he is killing it. And I just think I look up to that.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, there's a way to still get practice. And there's, pick up your gun at home, do the mirror drill, do the 4 points, 3 moves drill, all those things that you can do at home that are free, that don't cost any money.
Yeah. Hey, fun question here for a second. No right or wrong answer.
Sure.
I hear this all the time. I was talking to Mike Luongo. He's a student of Anthony Matters. I mean, the list goes on. Would you say he's kind of reaching that Dan Carlisle pinnacle of coaches? I mean, Anthony seems to be like the rain man of coaches. I mean, this guy, his knowledge, and like you said, he's an animal. He's got all those kids at home, and he's still coaching and winning. Well, he just won World Feet Task. So, I mean, would you say he's reaching that level of like Dan Carlisle pinnacle?
Yeah. Like I said, my whole life, I've always... I think to this day, I've Litsky, Matteries, Radulovich, Curry, I still go to all those videos because they all have videos that are out there. And they even the older videos, I'll still go to them and just say, okay, I'm gonna drink a cup of coffee and watch this chapter in the morning, and you'll pick up something, something you didn't pick up before. It's no different than picking up a book from the past. And but you know, Jason, that's a great question. I'm not trying to dodge it, but I just think there's so many awesome coaches. I will say, for him to put the new DVD out that he put out and to share that wealth of knowledge is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, so I'll definitely have to put that on my reading list or watching list.
Hold on a minute here.
Don't tell me.
What'd you do? Say his name too loud? It's David Radulovich.
What's up, guys?
What's going on, David?
Not much.
OH.
I don't think he heard you.
David, how are you?
Oh, hey, Bill. What's going on?
I'm doing awesome.
Yeah, we got Bill Elliott in studio. Sean's here with us. What are you up to tonight?
Well, I'm just I'm just finishing up some emails so I can head out and go hunting tomorrow morning.
Well, everybody wants to know if you retired. You kind of disappeared from the limelight.
I've got a few people asking me that question. And, you know, I've been a little bit MIA recently. I mean, I shot that regional in Texas and the nationals and I guess I shot the World Feed Task, and that's been it. I didn't go down to Florida. But, you know, just been working real hard down here in Arkansas to get everything up and running for our little club we got putting together, a little training facility. It's called Cypress Creek. And actually today, I just put on my social media today, they finished the second of three buildings that we're putting together. So it's pretty exciting. It's starting to look like, you know, what we had on paper. And so it's cool to look out in the window every morning and see all those guys working out there and putting it together. It's pretty surreal experience.
Wait, is that how the high rollers do it? They just look out the window at all the guys working for them and then go back to sleep?
Well, put it this way. If I was the one working out there putting it together, it wouldn't be up for too long.
Well, your ears must have been burning. Bill was just talking all kind of nasty stuff about you here.
I figured. That's why I figured I'd call in and straighten the record.
Lead reduction method.
Oh, man.
How do you think I paid for all this?
So you're building a new training facility, man. I without trying to get into too much Radulovich detail, tell us what's going on with it.
So, you know, I'm on the road a lot for my teaching. I mean, I spend, not this year because of COVID, but in 2019, I spent almost 280 nights on the road.
Wow.
Yeah. And so if you do the math on how much it costs to spend 280 nights on the road and you're not expensing it to somebody else, it gets really expensive. Oh, man. And not only that, but it's also just not fun. You know, I mean, you're living in hotel rooms, eating at restaurants all the time, got to do your laundry on the road. And, you know, I've always wanted a place to have people come to me for a couple reasons. Number one, you know, the obvious of, you know, you can stay home, cut expenses big time, and everything. But two, you know, as a coach, and I'm sure Bill can attest to this, you know, when you go to give a lesson to somebody, you're kind of beholden to the setup, the targets, the shooting stations that are at that club, which, not to put anything on any club, I mean, you know, most clubs set awesome targets, have great layouts. But if I'm teaching at one place for 2 weeks and I've got, you know, a full schedule of students, I can guarantee you that at least half of them are going to need to work on something that isn't there. And so that's really hard to manage. And as a coach, I can't really give the best experience to the people that are paying me to teach them that I could if I had my own place. So it was always been a dream of mine since I was a little kid. And I've seen all my friends do it, you know, Dan Bailey with Eagle's Nest, Will Fennell with the Fennell Shooting School, and a couple other, you know, Abel Spires got one in Oklahoma. And, so, you know, I'd always wanted to do that. I was looking at property in Texas and Colorado and Florida. And then, you know, Kaylee and I started talking, and she's been wanting to do the same thing. And so we said, well, what the heck? Why not just pull our resources together and build this here? And it's awesome. So I've got So far, like nine, I'm going to have nine training fields, basically like feet test parkour, as you can imagine. You know, like five machines all in a wireless. You can shoot 360 degrees in each one. I've got, I'll have the Renair clay bots there. So at the touch of a button, I can move the machine, change the target, change the spring, change the trajectory, whatever I need to do. We've built terrain. We needed some terrain to simulate shooting over in Europe. So we brought a crew in and we dug 50-foot, 55-foot cliffs. Got a big quarry now, which is really cool. A little nice. Muddy, but for now, we're gonna put some rock in there later. But got open fields, rolling hills, wooded areas. We've got international bunker and enclosed and heated five stand, and it's just awesome. So we're building two cabins. We've got one already on the property, and then we also are building a main lodge. The cabins have got two bedrooms. You can come in, rent a place to stay. You got a kitchen. We'll cook for you in the lodge.
Wait a minute.
All right, when am I coming?
Hey, anytime.
No, wait a minute. Anytime.
I knew he'd chirp up eventually.
You know, actually, and first off, before I get ahead of myself, congratulations. I was saying congratulations to Bill. I know I texted you earlier, but he just got his level 3 certification for coaching, which is a pretty big deal for those of you that don't know what that is. So that's pretty cool. But so I'd love to have you down here and teach some, and even if you want to do a certification course down here, it'd be awesome. But
thank you, David. I really appreciate that, man. And
of course, away from shooting left-handed.
right. I remember grinding on the skeet field, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So, that's the plan, is, you know, to have people come down. I don't want to make this place just about me and Kaylee. I want to have people, even if I'm not involved in the coaching, you know, if someone wants to come down and teach here with students, I want to be able to do it. I want to have, you know, a guest instructor here once a month. I want to do clinics. I want to bring in physiologists and neurologists and sports psychologists and stuff like that. I want to build. Yeah, it'd be cool.
Yeah, it sounds amazing.
So now you said you're going to cook for us. Now I'm going to screw this. Is it Joel
Dondas?
Dondas. Yeah. Yeah. Your student. Is he the one going to be cooking?
No, I can't afford him.
Okay. So if David and Kaylee are cooking, that means we're getting grilled cheese. Great.
No, I'll tell you what, I've become a pretty good cook now.
All right. Really? Well, I'll bring the bourbon. We'll see how good you can cook. So
deal.
That's awesome, David. Well, I'm glad you called in, man, because a lot of people thought you'd put the gun away and, you know, you're living the married life now and, you know, just gave up on us. So,
right. No, I mean, it's a fun game, but, you know, it's not really been something that I have ever really hit too hard. I average between 4,000 to 6,000 registered birds a year. And you know, this year with COVID was just a little bit less than that. But, I normally put the competition guns down for about 5 months a year anyway.
Yeah. You said you normally go hunting until what, March or April?
Yeah. I'll normally, you know, after nationals, put the gun down and then hunt basically from November to March or April and then start back shooting again.
Wow, that's awesome. Hey, yeah. So most important question of the night, have you listened to the Dead Para podcast?
I have, yeah, from the very first one.
Are you serious? Shameless plug.
Yeah,
shameless
absolutely. Plug.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, we're building, well, I shouldn't say we are building, Sean is building a new studio, and we're going to have a big sign up, says the Dead Para podcast behind the desk, and then we're going to try and do a few live episodes, but every single guest that comes in is going to sign it. So maybe we'll get a renewal signature on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'd love to have you, David.
Yeah. No, yeah, that'd be cool.
Listen, what you guys are doing is really cool. You know, I mean, I've done it twice now, and you know, for the people that are listening, nobody really understands how much of an investment it is to create a podcast. I mean, you have to buy the equipment. You got to find the time. You got to take the time away from your own job. And I mean, to do that, it has to be a labor of love, you know, because maybe later on you'll realize income off of it, but it takes a while for that to happen.
No, we do it because we love it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That's, so, I mean, it's a thing that you have to, you know, I mean, as a student of the game and also somebody that just enjoys you know, people putting their heart and soul into it. You know, I mean, I thank you guys for doing this when all the other ones are down, and for all your listeners. I mean, you know, it's I'm sure they all appreciate it.
Hey, David, I got to ask you one question, okay?
Yeah, sure.
So I know for years and years, you know, we've been talking about, you've been talking about it. Is there still, and you know, you don't have to go there if you don't want to, but is there still the thought of an Invitational in your mind?
Yeah, absolutely. I had a really good setup with a club and contact that we had kind of started the motion of everything at the beginning of last year. And
hold on a second, Dave. Hold on a second. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Sean's sure. Looking at me with a hairy eyeball. He has no idea what you're talking about. Can you tell everybody what you're talking about?
So Bill's talking about this deal. I don't remember what year it was. It might have been about 2016, but I had started this thing called the World Invitational. So I started the marketing of it and got some of the industry behind me. And my idea was that, you know, I'm a big fan of golf and I love the Masters and I love the green jacket and the ceremony and the invitational aspect of it. And I love professionalism in sports, and I don't mean professional athletes. I mean professionalism in sportsmanship and in character. And so I wanted to create an event where, you know, it was going to be, like what the title says, a World Invitational, where you pick the best so many shooters in the world, invite them down to the tournament, and have some serious guidelines of, you know, dress code, caddies, structure, you know, and treat these people like true professionals, where they don't, you know, none of this driving in and, you know, you buying your ammo there and trying to find a hotel room and random squatting. I mean, I was going to do it where, you know, I want you to put the deposit down and then forget about it. I'll take care of your ammo. I'll take care of the lodging. I'll take it. And basically you fly in or drive in, we'll pick you up, drop you off there and treat you like a PGA Tour member. And on top of that, what I wanted it to be was I wanted these guys, my peers, to bet on themselves. I don't think that it's fair for us to call ourselves professionals if we can go into a tournament for $150 and win $2,000. I want to say, look, I bet on myself to win. Here's $5,000 or here's $10,000 of my own money. But if I win, I get $200. You know, so yeah. I wanted more stakes on, you know, I wanted more on the line. I wanted more pressure. I wanted more professionalism, structured like a PGA Tour event, have it at a club that's world class, that has, you know, their own lodging and their own everything like that. So,
well, with it being
just think of the Masters of shooting.
Yeah, with it being all pro shooters like that, can you imagine the Calcutta on something like that?
Yeah, don't let off the gas, David. I think it's such a great idea.
That is a very neat idea.
It just hit me. What's lacking, David? This will bring in corporate sponsors. This will put it together quicker for you. It'll make it happen. You won't have to come out of pocket for it. All you got to do is change the name to the Dead Pair Invitational.
There you go.
Yep. There you go.
Listen, if all that corporate backing is coming from you guys, I'm in.
If it's from us, you're going to get one Atlas trap out in the middle of a yard because that's about all I got.
Maybe half a box of clay.
I can make something work out of that, maybe.
Well, David, this has been awesome, man. I'm so glad you called in. It's been really cool catching up with you. Anything else you want to let everybody know while we got you on the phone?
No, not really. I mean, I'm just, I guess semi-retired right now, living the life. There will be soon, you know, we're working on some stuff, trying to finish this whole thing. And probably my goal is by March 1st, be up and running. The thing I would say though, is if anybody's listening, you should check out American Field Sporting, because there is so far a really cool thing that they're announcing, right now. It's called the Game Boar Cup. And, if you go to their Facebook page and look, it's basically a kind of like a FedEx Cup type deal of golf, but stretched out over multiple events at regionals and stuff this coming year. And it's kind of ties into what you asked me about the Invitational. The end of it is going to culminate into an Invitational at this really nice private place down in Arkansas that's going to be built soon. And but it's going to be an Invitational here, 35 people. Wow. And they're going to be shooting off for something that's never been done before. So I can't say what it is yet, because I don't want to commit anybody to anything, but it's going to be, it's really, really cool. So just check out that. And for all three of you guys, you know, see if you can go to those shoots and shoot those tournaments and qualify for the event, because that you're going to want to win. Oh, here's the cool thing about it. It's going to be an Invitational based off of classes. So it's every class going to invite the top five people. That's where we get the 35 people. And with that, it's going to be a completely fair handicap shoot off. And the winner of that is going to be the winner. So very possible to get an E-class guy, HOA, the Game Boy Cup.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive. That means you got a chance, Sean.
Oh, yeah, I got a chance. Very, very, very slim chance. You all got a chance.
Well, you know, speaking of AFS, you may be a world champion, David, but this guy right here, shot the very first AFS target in the United States. Oh, here we go.
Really?
That's my only claim to fame, David. I'm worthless past that.
And did you have a vest on with your last name on it?
You daggone right I did. Yes, I did. Yep. No.
He still won't answer the question whether or not he hit the first
time. Tim answered the question. I obliterated. I dirtballed that thing. And it was even a Dan Bailey target, so it was like 65 yards and 120 mile an hour. So
in a snowstorm. Oh, yeah. In a snowstorm.
But no discredit to Dan. He throws awesome targets.
Rambo. Amazing targets,
no doubt.
One of my favorite target setters in the country.
Yeah, for sure.
He's just an awesome guy. I mean, how cool. This is what's so cool about Dan. I mean, he's been a guy that has improved almost every club in Ohio. I mean, he built up Briar Rabbit. He built up Cardinal Center. I don't know if you remember this, but back in the day, there was Ivy Springs, and he was running that. And, I mean, that was maybe almost 15, 20 years ago. And, you know, literally, you could measure the difference in revenue in the clubs of when he's there and when he's not. And finally, he, you know, kind of went through all the chips on the table, took out a loan, and started his own business. And now look what it is. I mean, it is a freaking beautiful club, one of the best clubs in the country for what it is.
Absolutely.
And I personally don't know if there's another guy that puts the attention to detail as Dan does. I mean, you go there and you will not find a shell on the ground on the whole property.
Oh, no, it's immaculate.
Grass is always cut, and it's gorgeous. I mean, I love shooting there. It's a bummer I'm not there.
Well, don't tell too much, because I actually text Dan today, and him and Christina, after we build the new studio, after the first of the year, they're going to come sit down in studio with us for an episode. So,
that's cool.
Yeah, I think those are two people that definitely deserve to be on the show.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah, for sure.
Well, Bill, you got anything else for the old ancient Buckeye here that's trying to retire?
No, I just appreciate he does everything he's done for the state of Ohio, and you really you've put us on the map, you know, in areas that we haven't been. And
I appreciate that.
You know, and back in the day, that little prompt, hey, Bill, you ever think of switching to left-handed?
Yeah. That's pretty cool. I mean, what you did yourself doing that is, I mean, that's some dedication to the craft. I mean, that's hard work. That's grinding out targets and relearning how to move your body in a way that is totally unorthodox, you know?
I give him props, because if you asked me to shoot a gun left-handed, I would no, it would not be good. It'd be ugly.
Listen, I've won 3 U.S. Opens, world championships, bunch of stuff, and if you put a gun in my hand left-handed, you look like I never shot a gun before in my life.
Right, and that's exactly how we'd be, too.
Talk about embarrassing. Yeah.
Well, man, I cannot wait. I want to get down there and see your club. I know it's, you know, more of a training facility than a club, but I'm going to come invade one of those cabins, whether you like it or not. You're going to hear gunshots at 7 a.m. and be like, who in the heck is that out there?
I'll be there with you.
There you go. Cool.
Absolutely. Yeah, come on down. Any of you guys, open invitation. Anybody that's listening to this that wants to come down, you'll be able to find our – I'm in the middle of building it right now, but our website is very easy. It's just cypresscreekshooting.com. So on there, you'll be able to do everything. You know, it's not going to be a gun club, but it's not like you can only shoot here if you're going to take a lesson. I'm making everything reservation only and membership only. You can come here one time if you're not a member, but the membership is very affordable. But basically what it's going to work out as is, because I want it to be a training facility, if you come, you go to the website, you go on there, and you can literally say, I want to shoot. I want to reserve the pit from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. And I want to reserve feed test field 4 from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock. And I want to reserve the bunker from 4 to 6. And you'll have those spots to shoot by yourself or with whoever else you want to bring, uninterrupted. You shoot as long as you want, as much as you want, and then come back and finish up. And so it's going to be, you know, I mean, a training facility to really get better and improve. And we'll have training plans for people to come if they don't want to take a lesson. I mean, I'll be setting all the targets. So, if you come and shoot, you just get a piece of paper, and it'll tell you how to practice on the targets you're going to and stuff. So even if you don't want to take a lesson, come on down, shoot, stay. And if you're brave enough, try some of my cooking.
And we can't wait.
Thanks, Dave. That's yeah, really cool, man. I appreciate you calling us.
Yeah, thank you guys.
All right, Dave. We'll see you, bud. Yep.
Take care.
Right.
Bye. Bye.
See you, Bill.
Oh, that was cool.
That was awesome.
Good timing, right?
ESP or something. Bill says his name, and 10 seconds later, he calls. Yeah,
Spidey senses were tingling.
So, Bill, let's kind of get into a little bit of what a guy can do when he's up here in the north and it's cold and it's raining, it's snow and it's miserable. It's definitely not shooting weather. What can a guy do? What kind of drills can he do in the house other than just your basic gun mounts and a mirror? What else can a guy do drill wise in the house?
Well, think about it. It goes back to your commitment level, right?
Right.
Some of my students that are out there listening, I'll take a picture of myself in the mirror with my gun and I'll text it out to some of my guys that I coach. I'll say, hey, did you pick up the gun tonight? And essentially what we're trying to do is let that gun become an extension of our body, right? So right. That every time we pick it up, it's not foreign.
Right.
So, you know, there, the basic mirror drill, that drill that, you know, John Woolley or Chris Batha or whoever it might be really kind of coined it back in the day, you know, just taking that time to work on perfecting your mount, to build, you know, you're building that front delt tie-in muscle so that when you're out there on the course and you're shooting over 100 targets, you don't get sore, right? At some point, we have to take care of ourselves also. And I think doing that mirror drill can create fatigue, you know, whether it's 3 minutes a night or 5 minutes a night. I think it's a great drill that's out there. The other thing that, you know, one of my mentors, Don Curry, said to me back in the day, he's like, Bill, remember, every shot that you take is 4 points, 3 moves. Hole point one, break point one, hole point two, break point two. And we can mirror that in any room of our house, if you think about it.
Yeah.
We can simulate 4 points, 3 moves. And one of the hardest things with newer shooters is on a report pair or a true pair, getting them to that second hold point or hold area. So this is a great way to simulate that, right? One other thing that I think a lot of shooters could spend some more time on, and again, this goes back to commitment level, right? Is you can really practice your pre-shot routine at home. You can practice your shot routine at home.
Yeah.
You can practice your post-shot routine at home. And I think that's one of the things that we don't put enough time into. I ask a lot of my shooters to write down their shot routine, to write down their pre-shot routine, to write down their post-shot routine, because there's three ways we learn: by seeing, by hearing, and writing. And I believe writing is the most powerful. Therefore, like, that's something you can work on. Well, when you're establishing your goals for the year, that's another thing you can work on. What is your goal sequence going to be? Have you, as you achieve benchmarks, are you going to create new goals? You know, maybe your goal is to get to 4 bigger shoots this year, not just shoot the local shoots. You know, that's all part of it. Like, that's training. I know it's not always just the gun, right? Visualization activities. You can take a minute a day or 5 minutes a day and go somewhere in your home where you can actually visualized a process, visualized success, visualized being in a tournament, visualized running station after station, it goes a long way. It's better than the alternative, right?
Right.
Right.
But I will go back to in the winter, if you can get outside and shoot, damn, does 90 degrees or 85 degrees in the summer feel good?
Right. Yeah.
Right? Right.
No doubt.
It really does. And you can look back to that day and go, that day of practice or that day of training when you were outside and it was snowy and 30 degrees. You can say, look what you've done on days like that. I for sure can do it on a day like today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, is there any tricks that you would say, like shooting in the wintertime, normally you're going to be wearing a heavier coat, more layers, so on and so forth. So the gun fit might be a little off. We've had some problems with guys. One of our buddies in years past, his gun would actually go off. The second shell would go off just from the bump between the, you know, his chest and the butt of the gun. I mean, do you do anything special when you're wearing heavy layers? Do you change anything or do you think differently when you're shooting with a big coat on?
That's a great question. I do. So I always say there's two things that I'm not afraid to invest in anymore. Good car tires and winter shooting gear. There is great winter shooting gear that is out there that you don't need to bundle up. Think about, we want boots that come up a little bit higher in the winter. That way it insulates higher up. We want good socks. We want strong base layers. I know a lot of guys who will have two different pads, one for this, like basically in Ohio, you have two seasons. You have winter and summer, right?
Right.
Right.
And I know guys who will swap out butt pads, which is a great idea. A couple of years ago, I was shooting with Jared Roomer. And I noticed after every time he was about to get into the station, it was this as if he was like Rocky taking off a robe and then coming into the ring, shooting, and then putting that robe back on. And I'm like, how simple is that? If you think about it, we're only in the box for what, maybe 48 to a minute and 12 seconds or something.
Right.
So I take my coat off now when I get into the box because I have strong layers. I have nice layers on underneath. I take my coat off, I shoot, and then I put it back on. If you are going to shoot with a coat on, I believe it's important that it's the same gear. It's repeatable gear so that you're not changing that fit every single time you go out to shoot in the winter.
Okay. Right. I know, you know, I talked to you about it, and for the last 3 years, I've been looking at one, and I finally bought the Wild Hair. I got to credit my wife for that. Thank you, babe. It's an expensive coat. I mean, it's an investment. You know, I think that coat was $250. I've been looking at it for 3 years. I wish I would have bought it 3 years ago. I mean,
I have the Wild Hair rain gear coat.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, it is the best rain gear I've ever shot in. It's the most comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I put on a couple good base layers. And I'm just as warm in that coat as if I had, you know, a big bundled Carhartt jacket on, you know, that's going to change my gun fit. So, and that coat is, you know, it's made for shooting, right? So you got all your shooting pockets in the front. You're not digging underneath your coat to try and get to your vest or whatever. So that stuff to me like that, it seems like a lot of money now, but man, it pays off in the end.
Right. Throw some long johns on, throw some nice socks on, buy some fleece lined pants. You know, I had a guy the other day and he had a fleece liner, then he had an Arborwear sweatshirt, and then he had a coat and he had his vest on top of all that. And you think of how much that adds to the length of pull.
Oh, yeah.
And just length of pull doesn't impact point of impact as much as people think, but it can impact comfort. And if you're not comfortable while you're shooting, it's not a good thing.
Right. Absolutely.
All right, Bill. So if you're out there, you know, suffering along, now you coach multiple students a day, usually on your training days, right?
Sure.
So I'm sure at the end of the day, you're frozen, right?
Yeah, it can get cold, but I'm pretty fortunate. There are some clubs out there that have enclosed five stands, like I think South Cuyahoga has one. Hillendale Club has one with heaters in it. And C4 Shooting and Training Center in Madison, Ohio, they just completed this state-of-the-art five stand with
heat. Yeah, they're a new club. We shot up there a little bit earlier this year. That's a neat club.
It is, yeah. They're doing a great job.
Hey, I got an idea. Let's call Scott Graham with
C4. Oh, he's playing with the phone again.
Man, you're on point tonight.
Hey, Scott, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Jason?
Doing real good. Got Bill Elliott here in studio with us and Sean Alley.
Hey, Coach. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Scott?
Excellent.
Well, everybody, this is Scott Graham with C4 Shooting and Training Centers in Madison, Ohio. Scott, we were just talking about cold weather shooting, and it just so happens you have a heated and enclosed five stand.
That I do, sir.
Man, that's awesome. I can't wait to get up there and shoot in that.
Well, tell us a little bit about it.
You're going to enjoy it tremendously, Jason. It's a real good opportunity for shooters to get out of the elements and just work on their training and just work on a good shooting opportunity.
Now, you have the Rainier trap bots there, correct?
Yeah, I got two of the Claybot Mark III's also.
Wow, that's awesome. Is that something that you're going to incorporate into your five stand? Or?
No, actually, we purchased those to create a private training opportunity for the pretty intense shooter who's really looking to hone their skills and have an opportunity outside of just the standard course or the five stand where they could take the robots out to their own meadow and set their own target. And if they want to shoot 200 of the same bird while they're working on things, they have that opportunity.
That's awesome. Now, I know we came up there for the Summit for Soldiers benefit shoot that you did. That was your first NSCA tournament, correct?
Correct. That was our first one. And it was an excellent turnout, and we achieved a lot of good things for a real great charity.
Do you have any cool things coming up this spring that you're looking forward to? You maybe want to throw out there and let everybody know about?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have our full year schedule in the NSCA's hands right now for every month, January through December. We'll have a monthly event, a monthly registered.
Awesome.
February, we will be doing another charity shoot for a local charity here. It's called the Sub-Zero Mission. It's a veteran group for they collect warming items for homeless veterans and any homeless people that they come across throughout the winter.
I gotcha.
Summertime, we got a big 4th of July shoot. We were lucky enough to get actually July 4th for our schedule. And we're going to put on fireworks and everything at the end of the night. So it's just a great big filled family day.
That'd be cool.
Absolutely. And then September 11th will be the second annual play therapy for Summit for Soldiers.
We'll definitely have to get back up there. That was a great event.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to be even bigger. We got a lot more time to plan it and a lot more time to get some other great companies involved like we did this past year. Really looking forward to it. 2021's planning to be very huge for us. And hopefully other shooters will come out and see the opportunity that we're presenting for them.
Hey, Scott, let's rewind. Yes, let's rewind, okay? You don't just have a five stand. You have a premier five stand, okay?
Yeah, can you
elaborate on a little bit, please? Because it's risen up. There's a dug up pit. It's pretty awesome.
So we built it into the hillside that we had available for us. So there is it's actually a three-story building. Has a lower level for traps and clay storage for easy filling of the course. Traps, and you got the main platform, which actually has six windows, so the trapper, which is provided at all times, can stand right in the middle of the squad, control the lights. It's also illuminated for night shooting, so it's not just a daytime. Oh, wow. Time. And then there's a third level and there are two traps up in the upper doghouse, so you have a full spectrum of targets coming at you, away from you, under you, above you. Good topography. There's hills and there's brush. Just a really, really, really premier opportunity for shooters, I think.
All right. And what is it that keeps us warm? Tell us a little bit what keeps us warm in there.
It's logs and barrels.
It's completely enclosed. Obviously, the shooting windows open up, so you're still going to get a little bit of the temperature, but it's gas-fed heat inside. It's an insulated building. It's completely finished on the inside. Good tile floor with a real nice rustic oak board siding or finish on the walls, however you want to look at it.
Rustic chic.
Yeah. It's very nice. We invested a ton of money into this part of the facility, knowing that here in this part of Ohio, it gets cold and we get some bad weather, and it shouldn't stop our training opportunities, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you're in the northeast corner, so it gets pretty nasty up there, and you're right off of not too far off from the lake. So.
Yeah, just a couple miles from the lake is the bird flies.
Now, do you guys pull anybody like in from, you know, northwestern Pennsylvania or New York or anybody?
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. We're getting a lot of Pennsylvania shooters coming out, actually purchasing memberships too.
Awesome.
We're a public club, but we do offer memberships. Both of our last two registered events, we pulled people out of New York as well.
Nice. Well, we might have to swing up there and check that place out, because I know it gets kind of nasty. We've been sitting here talking to Bill, and you know, it's hard to go outside and suffer for too very long. So if you got a place to go that's out of the weather, nice and warm and toasty, that's all the better.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to tell you that it's 75 degrees inside the building, but you know, with the windows open and the heat going, it holds at about 50, 52 degrees pretty constant, which is very comfortable to shoot in.
Yeah, that's nice weather for Ohio in the winter.
Yeah, that's better than 23 and blowing snow.
Right, so. Right.
I mean, as I look out my window and I see my diehards out there shooting some trap and some skeet right now, and it's dumping snow on them.
Oh, nice. Wow. Yeah, it's dark there, so yep, absolutely.
Scott, you know
All of our shooting opportunities are illuminated for night, so it's not just when the sun's out.
Gotcha.
Scott, you know I'm a champion for clubs, you know, Hillendale, South Cuyahoga, Eagles Nest, Cardinal. I can't applaud you guys enough for everything you're putting into the business. I know what you came into, and I want to give you a big shout-out, man. I really mean that. You guys are just doing an awesome job, and keep it up.
Bill, I appreciate that. You know that we've talked many times about what we're trying to do here, and I mean, the support is overwhelming, and I'm so grateful for it from you and from anybody else who says a good thing about us. It means a lot, and it's the reason why we're doing it.
You know, Sean and I came up there for the first tournament you had, that Summit for Soldiers that you did, and I was really impressed by the terrain. It's so neat, the layout of the sporting course, the five stand. Of course, I didn't get to shoot it at night, but it's really cool. The target presentations are unlimited for a five stand. The terrain's really cool. You know, you got open field versus woods, and I know, Scott, you guys had your struggles that first tournament. You're going to have that. Everybody's going to have a learning curve, right? So
yeah, I mean, and that's what it is. I'm learning.
Yeah.
I know that. I'm a pistol and rifle guy that found an opportunity to play in the clay target world, and I'm loving it, and I'm doing everything I can to be the best at it.
Welcome to the dark side.
Right. the one question I got to know, were your tires slashed? Because I know you set the targets on that tournament you threw. Were your tires slashed that night?
my tires weren't slashed.
There's a couple doozies.
I took an earful from a lot of respected people, and I stood by my targets with them, and I still do. And but I learned.
Right.
You know, yep. Awesome.
That's what it's all about, though, you know?
Yes, sir.
Well, Scott, thank you for spending a few minutes with us, man. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you.
Hey, do your club a big favor. Throw out website, phone number, any kind of contact, Facebook or anything like that. People want to come up and check this place out, because I'm telling you, I don't care how far away any of the listeners are, they got to come check out C4. It is a really neat club.
Thank you so much, Jason. I really appreciate it.
You want to throw your website or phone number or anything out?
Yeah, absolutely. Website is C4, the letter C, the number 4, shootcenter.com. And the range phone number is 440-298-3200.
Good.
Check us out on the web. Do all that good stuff. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. We're just forming a YouTube channel.
Oh, nice.
We're an education center first, and that's always my passion. And so any opportunity for training or education is forefront in our philosophy.
Excellent.
Well, I tell you what, I think it'd be cool if we can get, I know this guy that makes signs, no names mentioned, Mr. Alley, but if I could get him to make our easy up, I think it'd be neat to come up there and set an easy up for your Summit for Soldiers shoot.
Oh, maybe, man, that'd be great. Absolutely.
Maybe we snag a few interviews while we're up there. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, you know, maybe we could do a live broadcast.
There you go.
All now, kinds of ideas.
Now, see, this man's thinking along my lines here. Exactly. I like
but this. But Jason, with my track record of targets, you might have a lot of editing.
Hey, Sean's getting good at editing software. I've said a few things I shouldn't have.
Yeah, so. I'm getting good at that delete button.
Well, Scott,
thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Take care.
All right. See you, Scott. Bye-bye. Bye.
Look at that. I can find all kind of good people.
You just got everybody at the end of your little fingertips there. That's nice. That is a nice facility up there, and that's great that they're doing that. I mean, I know it's probably a little daunting to throw your first tournament out there, and I know that the targets were great. I mean, some of them were really, really, really tough.
Oh, man.
And since then, it's been, you know, Scott's the kind of guy you can talk to.
Yeah.
You can be
candid. And that's awesome. Everybody has to learn their first time. Yeah,
they're killing it with great targets now. So
do you do a little bit of training up there?
I do. Yeah. It's awesome facility. So I'm a grouse hunter, upland bird hunter, love upland bird. And when I go through that lane there, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe there used to be grouse all over here. I talk about with my dad all the time about how that area used to be a grouse haven.
Yeah.
So beautiful.
Not as much anymore, unfortunately.
Okay. So something we started on the last podcast, and I got to ask you this. It does not have to be a win. I want you, and you've been around this for a long time. In fact, you're in it every day. It's now your career. I want you to tell me the most memorable sporting clay experience you had. What day, what event? Tell me.
Detroit Gun Club. Shot a 99. It felt so good, but I still want that one bat two back. I remember that bat two to this day.
Yeah. Haunt you, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny you say that. I'm sure you caught that on the Florida podcast. You told me to go find Braxton, and I did. And he shot 100 straight that day. And I asked him, I said, Braxton, what kind of mental focus does it take to, you know? He started laughing. He goes, you know how many 99s I shot where I missed the very last bird? And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And actually, Chris Ferris was standing there, and he's like, I've done it. I've been there. It's just something about the pressure of that last bird, you know?
I'll tell you what, both those guys, awesome ambassadors for this game.
Oh, absolutely.
They really are.
Yeah, I hope Sean gets to... Sean's going to one of the Florida shoots this year, so I hope he gets to meet him.
Yeah, I'm going to try to go down to the Gator Cup and see if I can run into some people down there and get some interviews and stuff, follow up with some of the people that maybe you talked to at the Florida State shoot, and just kind of circle back. But yeah, hopefully get through this COVID nonsense and get back to some kind of normalcy, and then we can all travel and go to different shoots and have fun.
So, Bill, I still got a couple of good questions for you. At least I think they are. Everybody else.
I'm waiting for rapid fire.
Oh, yeah. We're going to do rapid fire. So when a guy can get out in this nasty weather, it breaks a little bit, maybe it hits 40, and he's going to sneak out to a course and do some shooting. I already know the answer to this. It's rhetorical for you and I, but for our listeners, what's a good base practice drill that everyone can benefit from when they only have a limited amount of time that they can get out? A guy's been stuck in the house for 2 weeks. He finally gets to go out and shoot. Is it the grid system? I mean, tell me, what do you think would be a good practice for somebody?
So I love the crosser grid. I love the trap grid. But I would say in this kind of weather, we're pretty much you're trying to close the gap between average and perfect, right? There's some targets that, depending on where you are in this game, it's okay to be average. It's okay to miss. But there's other targets where the expectation is you must be perfect.
Right.
And that has to be repeatable on anywhere from 3 to 4 pairs. So why not practice 5 pairs at a time and practice perfection? Like, you know, go through a course and pick out 5 easy pairs, right? Mm-hmm. And run those pairs each station, 10 shots, run the next station and get used to running stations. Because as you know, like, you know, when you start running stations and you're not used to that, it's easy to say, man, this isn't like you.
Yeah. All right. Well, as a shooter, there's nothing that frustrates me more than going up on like a 6-bird or an 8-bird station and you kill all of them except the last one or the second to the last one. You walk away with about a 5 out of 6 or a 7 out of 8. And it's just like, I know I hit that so many times. How did I miss that one dumb shot? You know, it just burns you up.
And I think that goes back to what you told me, Bill. You ran your plan a little light. You took that target for granted. You ran your plan light and you missed it.
Yep.
And it's funny because I think some of my best practice comes from when I'm by myself. I enjoy so much shooting with my friends, though. I'll never pass the opportunity up when they're around. And one of my friends that comes to the house and shoots with me, his name's Mike. You know who I'm talking about. But anyway, we set up and we would practice and practice and practice. Starting to get dark this past Sunday, and I set the target up. Both targets. I had both throwers set up on a really easy pair. I mean, in fact, if you took it as a little bit more of a quartering than some trap shots, you can actually hit both with one shot. And he's like, why are we doing this? I said, because I'm going to stand here and run seven pair. He said, you're out of your mind, dude. That's easy. Why are you messing with this? And I said, okay. So I stood there. And on the seventh pair, I missed the first one of the pair. And he got up there to try it. And on the second pair, he started missing. He turned around and he goes, I never would have thought. I said, these are the easy ones that Bill keeps telling me that are eating your lunch, pickpocketing you in a tournament.
You get pickpocketed for one target over eight stations. That's 8%.
Right.
And that's one thing, Jason, you know, you'll never hear me call a target an easy target. I may say, you know what, that's less technical, but it's not easy.
Not easy.
And yeah. I think the minute we let our guard down, the minute we get complacent, the minute we don't run our plan, the minute we're not where our feet are, the minute we're not present is the minute we get pickpocketed.
Yeah. I mean, I'm okay with going out to Dan's on his FITAS course and missing that 60-yard crosser, you know, it's doing 80 miles an hour. It's that little fluffy bunny chandelle that's 15 yards in front of you that's as big as a dinner plate, and you shoot at it and like, why did that not break?
Right. Yeah.
You know, that's what burns you up.
So I would say for the shooter going out there, go out there and have fun, but go out there and keep track, like keep score of how many times you run your shot routine. Mm. Did you run your pre-shot routine? And if you went, you know, 10 of 10, enjoy it. Go on to the next station.
And just make it a habit.
Yeah, I mean, and the goal should be, and I got this, I think it was from the Target Line group, Jeff Foster, Gavin Miles, Tony Rivera, those guys. One of the trainings that they do before a tournament is, you know, go out on the course and shoot 50 target, less technical targets for score and try to be perfect.
Okay. So
that I think this time of the year, because you're not going to go out and tell, you know, here in Cleveland, Ohio, and I'm going to quit saying Northeast Ohio, I'm saying Cleveland, Ohio. In Cleveland, Ohio, we're not going to be able to say to the target setter, hey, can you go out and set me a, you know, a 40-yard teal that's arcing at 50 degrees and it's 27 degrees out.
Yeah, and if you don't get smacked, well,
right.
He's just going to laugh you out of the clubhouse. So I get it.
All right, Bill, you want to do some rapid fire?
Yes.
Ready for this? Look, he's even got his notes over there. He's ready for me. Okay, you ready? Gun.
Zoli. Z-Sport. 32-inch.
Chokes.
Briley. So mod, skeet on anything close.
So they are screw chokes then.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Shells.
Fiocchi, Little Rhino, 1250, 8s and 7.5s.
Glasses.
Randolph Edge. You guys know the guy, Morgan, Optical, Wayne, and Tom, right?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Ear protection.
Pro ears.
Vest or shell bag?
I use a vest. I didn't used to, but a wild hair vest.
Okay. And we're going to add a little bit to this. Sponsors.
Okay. So I'm really fortunate in this space. Compass Self Storage, they really got on board with me from the get-go. So I owe them so much thanks. They've been with me since day one. Zoli, Fiocchi, Wild Hair, Pro Ears. Did I say Pro Ears?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yep.
So did you have something, Sean? You looking at me like...
No, I'm just kind of taking it all in. It's always great to sit here and talk to Bill because he's just a fountain of knowledge.
I know. You could sponge off him all day long.
Oh, yeah. I could sit here and just listen.
You brought up Morgan Optical. And for those listening, you know, we were doing a gear series and we did one on the gun and the next one was going to be optics. We haven't forgot about that. We haven't shied away from that. Unfortunately, Mr. Morgan had some family issues that he's dealing with right now. So we're probably going to skip the optic one and come back to it when he's more available.
Yeah. Do you care really quick about optics? This is one thing that I think needs to be heard out there to all the shooters, newer shooters out there. So you're looking at lens colors, right? And everyone says, oh, you got to go with this Pila this, or you got to go with this color this or this. Remember, eyes are individualized. There is no one size fits all for the eyes, no different than gun fit. So when you're hearing things at the club, you know, make sure you take that color or that, that free advice that someone is giving you and make sure you go test it before you buy it. Because so many times I can't tell you, man, I bought these lenses and they don't blend with my eyes.
Yeah.
So it's very individualized.
Yeah. It's good advice.
So yeah, we're going to circle back to the optics part of the gear series. I think the next one we're going to work on is going to be hearing protection. And you know, you have a special guest for us, Bill, that's going to come on. I'm going to wait until I can confirm with him before I announce that. But, as far as who it is, but yeah, we are going to continue on the gear series, guys. Don't forget about that. And also we forgot to mention on our last podcast, the contest is still going on.
Yeah.
We're giving away two NSCA, full memberships with a swag pack from Breakpoint Shooting Instruction, Chad Roberts. Thank you, Chad. Rules are simple. Number one, you cannot be a current NSCA member. You cannot use this for renewal. This is for new members only. And rule number two, you have to go to the website, our website, not the Facebook page, not Instagram. You have to go to the website, thedeadpair.com. Click on the contact button. Send us an email with your name, address, and telephone number, and tell us what you like best about the Dead Pair podcast.
Yeah, and while they're also doing that, we're always looking for new ideas and advice on things that you want to hear about, whether it's gear, whether it's coaches, whether it's shooters. We're open and to any and all advice on or suggestions on what you guys would like to hear on one of the next Dead Pair podcasts.
Yep, absolutely. Well, Bill, what's next for you, man? What's you got to be filling your schedule up, I'm sure, with this being wintertime. Guys are probably wanting to get in on their lessons, right?
Yeah. I think one of the things that I really want to do is I want to work on my own shooting. I made it a goal to get to, I'd like to get to three or four majors this year. I think if you're following that path, it's important that you get to those shoots and just get in that ring, because I don't care who you are. It just really opens you up to awareness, and I think it can only help. I'm updating some marketing content. I'm trying to keep my wife happy at home with it. I got a 3-year-old and a 9-month-old, and
yeah, you're juggling a lot.
Yeah. So it's awesome to have, you know, that support at home. Continue to get around to the clubs in the Midwest. I'm writing a new article for Clay Shooting USA, and big shout out to Dana Farrow. Keep up the awesome job that you're doing at the magazine. You know, just writing and keeping up with the business.
You know, I really like those articles you did on the 5 for 5. That was really, I think there was a little bit of entertainment value there, but it was really informative. Those were cool for sure.
I really believe, you know, having the opportunity to interview 20 of the top shooters throughout the United States that were willing to take that time. And thank you guys. Those 5 questions talk on chokes, shells, technique, training, advice. If you're a new shooter, intermediate shooter, whoever you are out there, you should really take time to read that article. It tells you that there isn't one way to shoot this game. Right?
Right.
Right.
So it's okay if your footing's a little bit different or your elbow's up and not everybody else's elbow isn't up and you got a dot on your eye or you shoot everything swing through. We are who we are as shooters. We just need to be open to tweaks.
Right.
And you just got to know what works for you.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, here's something we ask every guest we've had. What's the one thing we can do to entice new shooters into the sport? What do you think that... What do you think our sport needs as far as a kick in the butt to introduce new shooters?
So I think one thing we can do is be open to corporate opportunities. You think about it. I know a lot of coaches out there that don't enjoy brand new shooters and they don't want to deal with corporate opportunities. But, you know, let's say you get 50 attorneys at an event, or you get 20 representatives from a sales team from a major corporation. Let them have the time of their life and let them go back to their friends and say, guess what? I shot sporting clays today. It's pretty much golf with a shotgun. And I watched stuff blow up. It was awesome. I want to invite you out to come and check out my sport, what I did. You know, I think the other thing is too, is like, I go back to, we only know what we know. Right. If I grew up in a home where there wasn't shotguns or there wasn't, firearms, keep introducing people, keep introducing people, because this, like the SCTP programs, the 4-H programs, the Boy Scouts programs, it's unbelievable what they're able to produce out of those programs. So we just need to keep hitting on awareness.
Do you think, speaking on a very high level, you know, the PSCA did a lot for our sport. Do you think that's one of the things we're lacking, is like a big series like that with a corporate, some kind of big outside corporate sponsor to draw more attention to the sport? Do you think that's something that's lacking?
Well, I can't really speak to the PSCA because unfortunately I didn't get to participate in that. I will say though, outside sponsorship opportunities, like could you imagine if you had an opportunity for, I don't want to say a company because if I say a company, somebody's going to say, oh, he said that company. But, you know, but just imagine a major corporate sponsor who's willing to throw down, and think of the audience you get from that corporate sponsor.
Yeah, some Fortune 500 companies.
Exactly.
So to speak.
Yeah, exactly. But I also think of our network in this sport.
Right.
I mean, you know, and I know we go to the, we have strong business owners in this sport. We have nonprofit individuals in the sport. I think we just can't be afraid to say, I shoot clay targets, I use a shotgun, and I love it.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah, it's funny because the guys at work, you know, they're always talking football and baseball and all that, you know, the common, what do you call it, water cooler talk. Mm-hmm. And they my boss asked me the other day, he says, oh, what do you think about this? And that's, I have no idea. He said, what do you mean? And I said, I golf with a shotgun. And they started laughing. I said, no, I'm serious. I golf with a shotgun. It's called Sporting Clays. And he said, you don't follow any? No, I don't. I don't follow any other sport. This is my sport. This is what I love, what I'm passionate about. It's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
You know, if they want to follow football or whatever. And we ended up getting into an in-depth conversation about it, and we touched on a lot of topics, good and bad of both. And
so they're coming out shooting next week?
Yeah. Pretty much, you know, and I told him, I said, for everything bad you have in your sport, I can name 15 good about my sport that you can't pick on, you know. And he sat there and he kind of thought about that for a second and he shook his head and he goes, you know, you're right. I can't pick out one bad thing I've heard about your sport. So,
yeah,
you know, it's, I don't know. I just wish we could draw the masses more, so to speak. But again, we're shooting guns. So we've got to get that bad taste out of everybody's mouth that, you know, a handful of people over the last 10 years have made a bad name for us. So
yeah, I always try to keep on the positive side. I mean, I belong to a business networking group, and I actually took a couple guys out to the Cardinal Center. We got a thing where we have to do like a lunch buddy assignment every month with members of the group. So I actually ended up with two of the guys. One of them is a mortgage lender. The other guy is an insurance agent. Took them out to Cardinal. They had the time of their life. So they were smiling ear to ear by the end of the time, by the end of the night when we were done. And I know they're going to go back out there. So, yeah. I mean, the best advice I can tell you, if you're a current shooter now, take somebody with you that hasn't been or just doesn't really know about it. Maybe a guy that just hunts a little bit now and then. Take him out to the course and introduce it to him. You never know. You might change that guy's life and give him something to really look forward to, and, you know, and something for him that he can strive after. And if he wants to compete, you know, go that route. And I don't know. You can go down so many avenues with this sport. I think it's a great thing. The more people we can introduce to it, the more people that get into the sport, it's going to make it all better for all of us.
That's awesome.
Totally agree. www.billelliottcoaching.com. You can find me on Facebook. Phone number 440-724-1735. You ask any of the guys I coach, I'm always willing to chat ahead of time to see if it's a good fit for you. And, you know, customer service is number one with me. You're always going to get follow-up, and I think that's key.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, you know, Sean and I can both attest you've definitely elevated our games, and, you know, we enjoy talking to you. I mean, I think that both of us talk to you on a bi-daily basis, and, you know, I love every one of our conversations, and I love how you check up on us. You know, you don't let us slip, and when we do slip, you're there to remind us, hey, I told you, you need to be off practice, and, you know, did you pick your gun up last night? Did you do the drills I told you?
Right, and the other thing you have to remember, too, is, like, you know, I'm not the coach for everybody, but I would recommend for any individual out there that's, you know, we need evaluation, we need assessment, we need feedback. Find somebody you can work with.
Yeah, definitely good
advice. By far, probably the only shortcut in this game as a coach, I would say.
I agree. So,
money well spent.
Absolutely. Well, guys, this has been great. Everybody go check out thedeadpair.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Subscribe to us through your favorite podcast outlet. We're on all of them now. I think we're on 19 of them now.
Yeah.
So
and more every day.
Yes, we're trying, guys. Bear with us. Questions, comments, concerns, ideas, tips, tricks, anything you got, feel free to shoot us an email or drop us a line on Facebook or Instagram. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, and don't forget our contest. All those new guys out there, I mean, a free NSCA membership. Don't let it pass. Somebody's going to win it. Might as well be you.
Absolutely. Good point. Thanks, guys.
Thank you guys for having me tonight.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it. Appreciate it very, very much.